Today on the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast, we are going to be talking about the four lies you're telling yourself and why they're keeping you from achieving your goals. Hey friend, and welcome to the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast, formerly the Growth Tribe podcast, a podcast where we're all about empowering you to take back your damn life on your terms. My name's Ellen, and I'm a former science researcher turned coach. So basically, I know exactly what it's like to feel like you're living a life that's not yours, because I've been there too. Hell, sometimes I still feel like I am. I'm constantly course correcting, learning about myself, and finding new insights and tips that have helped me take back my damn life and create a life I effing love. This podcast is a place for me to share those things with you. On this podcast, you're going to learn how to get clear, confident in who you are, and get consistent and productive AF so that you feel empowered to get out of your damn head and take back your life too. Think of it like productivity, but not just for your to-do list, for your life. So with that, let's get into this episode of the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast. Oh, hey there, and welcome back to the Take Back Your Damn Life podcast. I just want to start this off by saying, I hope you're doing really well. I know that this has been the weirdest damn time, and that 2020 is off to a very fucking weird start, for lack of a better way to say it. So I hope you're doing well. And today what I really, really want to talk about is, you know, maybe a slightly different thing. You know, this is going to be a less coronavirus focused, a less, you know, how to help yourself push through this time. My last four episodes have been really about that. And this one was just really inspired by the fact that, I don't know if you know this, but I have decided during this whole coronavirus situation that I'm gonna write a book. I've had book ideas, so many of them, in fact, for years now. And it finally just felt like time where I need to get out of my own damn way and write one of these suckers and like really just make this fucking thing happen. So that's what I've been doing. And in creating and writing that book recently, I came up with this notion of the four lies you're telling yourself. And that is exactly what I want to share with you today. These four lies are going to make up four of the introductory chapters in my book where I detail and I really go through the process of science of life design. But I really wanted to share this with you now, you know, give you this like sneak peek almost into the book, because I feel like these lies are so damn prevalent for us as high achievers. They really, really can hold us back. And I want to give you some strategy and some tangible tips for, you know, not only what these lies are, but why these lies are keeping you from achieving your goals, from living the way you want to live. So that's really my goal in today's episode, is to get into the nitty gritty, give you this nice little sneak peek into the book, but also to give you some really big ahas moving forward about what things might be holding you back. So with that, let's get into this sucker. All right, lie number one, the how matters. The first big lie that we tell ourselves when it comes to achieving our goals, to when it comes to just frankly just creating the kind of life you want to friggin' live, is that the how matters. Now, what do I mean by this? What the hell do I mean when I say the how matters? Basically, what I mean is this. We've been told for a really freaking long time to focus on the process and how we achieve our goals. Hell, I have been the freaking productivity and goals coach in the past whose sole professional focus was that very thing. How? How are you going to do the thing you want to achieve? But then I watched clients, and many of them, clients, friends, and hell, I fell into this pattern too. I watched people who literally could make a career out of planning as a procrastination tool. You know what I'm talking about here? When you literally plan something down to such a minute detail that the process of planning it takes no long that you never start the damn goal. I have watched people be so crippled by not knowing how to build a website or to use Instagram that they didn't even start the business that they wanted to start. Or who were so paralyzed about not knowing how to self-publish that they wouldn't even write the book they've been itching to write. And again, I'll be fully transparent. I have been this person on more than one occasion, and I still catch myself when I fall into this pattern. Like, this is not something that I have completely overcome. But the secret here, and the reason why this is such a damn lie, is this. The how doesn't matter so long as you do the damn thing. you want to be an author, okay. Who gives a shit then if you self-publish, you get an agent and a book deal? You want to run a half marathon? Okay, who cares if it takes you 3 months or it takes you 6 months? Or whose plan you follow? Like, who cares? If you want to build a business, oh, freaking K, build it. Who gives a shit if you follow Jenna Kutcher's advice or Sophia Amoruso? She's the girl who wrote Girl Boss. Who cares? And who cares if it takes you 6 months to build it to full time or 6 years? What I think of when I think of this is that old saying, you only fail if you quit. Here, it's really got some merit. It's got some damn teeth because too freaking many of us give up too easily. Too freaking many of us have spent too much time listening to what someone told us is the quote unquote right way instead of trying to find the right way for us to achieve our goals. It's why this is the lie that I decided to start with, because it's been one of the most important lessons that I've needed to learn throughout my life, that there is no right or wrong way how to achieve something. There is no right or wrong how to achieving your goal. If it gets you to where you're trying to go, there's nothing wrong with it. And I think sometimes we forget that. Like, the examples I can think of are, you know, me when I ran my half marathon in 2015, I was kind of insane. I'll just say that right now. Don't do this. But I decided to run my first half marathon in August, and then I did my first obstacle course race in September, and then I ran another half marathon in October. I hurt myself. We're just going to leave it at that. But I had to cut back on my training leading up to the Nike Women's Half Marathon in San Francisco. I was nursing an injury, back to health, and I actually tried K-tape on the first, for the very, very first time on the day of the race. That's like a big no-no. If you read any running thing, they say don't do something new on race day. Well, I did that, and it actually worked. I hit my personal best. Another example from a more famous person than me, Kara Alwil-Leyba. I never know if I'm saying her name right, but she's the gal who wrote She Owns the Place, and she wrote Girl Code, and she wrote all of these great books. And I just recently read her newest book, Girl Power? What's it called? Shit. It's called Girl on Fire. Okay, I full on had to stop recording and look it up because I was just like, come on, Ellen. But it's called Girl on Fire. And I just finished reading this book. And in it, she tells the story of how she decided against working with an agent and working with a publisher. She actually started self-publishing, ended up getting a publisher, and then left said publishing deal because it felt like a better and more authentic way for her to just go back to self-publishing. Again, there's no right way. There's no right how. Ultimately, the how doesn't fucking matter. If it gets you to where you're trying to go, the process that you took to get there doesn't matter. You're no less legit if you took a slightly different, a slightly non-traditional pathway. So that's the first lie that we tell ourselves, that the how matters, because it freaking doesn't. The next big lie that we tell ourselves, and if you've been paying any attention to my content lately, you know I feel this one. The next big lie is that mindfulness is bullshit. And I'm coming at this, again, every time I talk about this, I always mention this, because I think people just think, oh, well, you're just more woo than me. Dude, I'm coming at this from the perspective of a fucking scientist who definitely has been known, and I've done it in rants on social media, to scoff at anything that remotely smelled of woo. But with mindfulness, what I've realized is not some woo-woo bullshit. It's a lie that if we are willing to release this notion that mindfulness is BS and that's not going to help us, oh my God, mindfulness can reveal some of the honest-to-God's missing pieces that are holding you back and hanging you up, whether it's toward achieving your goals or just living the kind of damn life you want. It is a powerful, powerful tool for getting through all the bullshit, getting through all the should, getting through all the cultural influences, and helping you get down to the shit that you actually care about. A couple months ago, I had my girl Elena Thurston on the podcast. She was episode number 86, and she has an incredible story. But I'm going to paraphrase something that she said in there in regards to mindfulness and how freaking helpful it is. Basically, she said that you are dropping things you don't even realize you're dropping. You've got all these freaking balls in the air in your life right now, and you're dropping things that you don't even know you're dropping Because basically you're wearing a blindfold. And what mindfulness does is it takes off the blindfold so that you can see all of the things that you're juggling and you can decide which balls you actually want to juggle and which ones you want to put down. That's the power of mindfulness. And when I say mindfulness, the things that I'm talking about here are things like journaling, things like meditation, basically just doing intentional activities to turn off your brain, to stop analyzing, to stop strategizing, to stop to-doing, turning off your brain, and just starting to tap into your intuition more. That's what I mean by mindfulness. And seriously, as a former like anti everything that could remotely even, you know, smell of woo, as a former that type of mentality, I'm a convert. I love how in tune with myself I am because of mindfulness practices. So lie number one is that the how matters because it doesn't fucking matter. Lie number two is that mindfulness is bullshit. Mindfulness is one of the most powerful things you can do for yourself. If you feel like you are just constantly doing things for other people, have no idea what you want, what you value, what your priorities are, girl, you need to step into some mindfulness. And let me know, actually, I've contemplated doing like a starter podcast for ways to get started with things like meditation, because I know how daunting it can be. But that's tip number two, or lie number two, that mindfulness is bullshit, because it's not. All right, now we get to lie number three. Lie number three is that failure is not an option. So there is a new methodology, a new framework that I've been developing, and it's actually the premise for my book that is called The Science of Life Design. Basically, it is a formula for how to go about achieving your goals and how to go about collecting the real-time data from your life so that you can course correct and give yourself what you need along the process of achieving your goals. And when it comes to the science of life design, the parts of this process that tend to be the hardest parts are the parts where you have to actually, A, do the damn thing. You actually have to do and work towards your goal. But B, the other big part of the process that can be really, really hard is analyzing. Is self-reflection. Because when it comes to self-evaluation, for a lot of us, we have been trained to tie self-evaluation with self-judgment. I mentioned the example of, you know, me running the half marathon in 2015. And I use this as an example often because I feel like all of us can understand health and fitness examples. But I was training for this half marathon, and there was a period of time where I could just not break through the barrier. I had never run more than like 7 miles before, you know, consecutively. And I was having a hell of a time breaking through that barrier. Every single time I went out for a run and didn't hit my miles for that day because I just couldn't break through the 7 mile barrier, I would come home. And what do we do in situations like that? It's not, you know, oh, it's okay, girl, you tried your best. Like, that's not the shit that's going through my head, right? It's shit like, oh my God, you're such a fuck up. I knew you couldn't do this. Why do you even try? You're such a failure, right? Those are the kind of things that we say to ourselves when we've failed or we perceive that we failed. But ultimately, what I learned from that is I learned a lot of shit that wasn't working. I learned a lot of shit that I needed to do differently. I learned that, you know, for very, very tangible, I learned that I needed to be better about pacing. I learned that I needed to be better about stretching on my off days because my legs were just dying. I learned that I needed to tweak some of the other lifting workouts that I was doing because my legs were just running out of gas. My muscles were too tired to push past that barrier. So I learned and made some tweaks. The one time that I didn't do that in the process of trying to run this half marathon, I actually ended up pushing through an injury that I had for like the next 9 months. I injured my hip when I pushed through the pain instead of listening. The lie we tell ourselves is that failure is not an option when in fact, and I know it's cliche, but let's freaking face it, a lot of cliches and a lot of really trite statements are really fucking true, right? It's not failing. It's an opportunity to learn. But ultimately, to learn, we have to be willing to look at the data, be willing to analyze things, be willing to take our ego and our judgment out of the situation and just evaluate the data that's in front of us. Learn from it, grow from it, see what we can change, see what we can tweak. That's the power of those moments of quote unquote failure. So failure is not an option. That's a flat out lie. And it's a lie we've got to stop telling ourselves, because when we put so much pressure on ourselves to be perfect and to never fail in the process of achieving things that we've never actually done, not only are we setting ourselves up for a really, really shitty process of achieving our goal, but we're basically setting ourselves up for a lose-lose situation. Because straight up, you're going to fail. Straight up, you're going to fuck something up along the way. Straight up, there's going to be shit that you're going to run into that is going to be really, really hard, really, really difficult, maybe impossible to overcome. So if we go in with the expectation or the lie that failure is not an option, that's not going to serve us. If we can shift that mentality and go in with the expectation that, okay, I only fail if I quit. And if I fail, I'm going to do my damnedest to learn as much as I can from that failure. That's all you can freaking do. So lie number one is that the how matters. Lie number two is that mindfulness is bullshit. And then lie number three is that failure is not an option. Which brings us to lie number four, which is related to lie number three, but it is perhaps my favorite. Lie number four is that quitting is failing. If I stopped telling myself this lie, I would have saved myself a decade, because this is one of the biggest lies I find I tell myself, and I sure as shit know I'm not alone in this. This lie of quitting is failing is what kept me in my PhD program for as long as it did. I knew 6 months to a year into my PhD program that the shit was wrong. I was not in the right place. I was not going to do well. I knew that early. And I stayed in that program for years. I didn't leave until I was staring down my fourth year. And I was staring it down with complete and utter misery. But ultimately, I stuck around for as long as I did because I was telling myself this lie that quitting is failing. And I was telling myself this lie because science was my identity. It was how I identified with my peers, how I identified, new acquaintances that met me. It's how the students in a freaking MBA class I sat in on in graduate school, they would just sometimes call me the PhD student. That's why it took me so long to leave graduate school, is I felt like quitting was losing my identity. And I felt like quitting was failing. And I felt like if I was committed to someone, then it somehow meant I was unfocused or flaky or lacked discipline to move on. Ultimately, yes, I did quit my PhD. And all the dread, all the uncertainty, all the what-ifing, all the catastrophizing that led up to making that decision, in the weeks afterward, I felt liberated. It was, and I actually wrote this in a blog post, it was like being released from a straitjacket. Legitimately, I described the inauthenticity of being in that program. It felt like an emotional straitjacket. And when I left, it suddenly felt like I could move again, like I could breathe deeper, like a ton of weight had been removed from on top of my chest. And as I record this, it's been over 4 years, almost 4 years, actually. And I have complete clarity and certainty that this is 1,000% the right move for me. You see, like quitting, when you look at that perspective, is absolutely not failing. And I'm going to deep dive into so many other stories of people who have, you know, quitting was ended up being the best thing they could have done for themselves. Whether it's quitting a relationship, quitting a career path, you know, quitting an insane goal, whatever. But quitting is not failing. Making the decision to quit, to leave behind a path that was so damn wrong, can sometimes be the best decision you can make for yourself. My mom actually told me before I left my PhD, you stay in something come hell or high water just because you committed to it. And that used to be my MO, blind commitment out of some misplaced sense of integrity. And I know better now. I know that quitting is sometimes the best choice you can make, that staying just because you feel like you should out of a straight up obligation is doing nothing but letting yourself down and keeping the people who love you most from getting to know the real authentic you. So fuck no. Quitting is not failing. That's one of the biggest lies I've told myself and that you very well might be telling yourself. You've got to honestly and vulnerably realize that fallacy if you're going to benefit from this process. Benefit from the process of growing yourself. Benefit from the process of taking back your damn life. You've got to recognize all of these lies. Recognize that they exist and recognize what some of the biggest culprits are for you. So I'm going to recap real quick. The first lie is that the how matters. And if you are getting too damn stuck in how in your process to do the damn thing and make some damn moves, that's a freaking problem, right? So recognize this. Real talk yourself. Challenge yourself. Call yourself out right now of, yep, yeah, Ellen, this is me. Call yourself out on it. That's lie number one, is that the how matters, because it fucking doesn't. Lie number two is that mindfulness is bullshit. If you've caught yourself getting guarded, pushing away, all of this mindfulness stuff, thinking that it's some woo-woo crap that's not actually going to help you, check yourself. Because this is seriously, I'm telling you, as somebody who was so resistant to it for so long, it's one of the best things I could have done for myself. And I learn so much about myself week to week, day to day, because of mindfulness and because of mindfulness practices. Lie number three is that failure is not an option. Ooh, we debunked this. You can learn so much shit from your quote unquote failures. And the things that we often think of as failures, hell no. Those are steps along the path. They're necessary lessons. So let's learn from them. Let's stop being so damn afraid of failing and just learn from the obstacles and the bumps in the road. It's a reframe. Your failures are not failures. They're just bumps in the road. And then last but not least, lie number four is that quitting is failing. Quitting, I've done it. I've had some epic quits in my life. And each one of them I realize now had to happen. Happened for a fucking reason. And if we can release ourselves from the lie that quitting is failing, holy shit, it is going to direct us down some amazing paths, paths we were always meant to be on, if we can just tap into that mindfulness and listen. So I hope this really resonated with you. I hope this was an awesome sneak peek into my book, which hopefully will be coming out this summer. My goal is to finish the first draft by the end of April. Holy shit. But I'm very excited for it. And actually, some of what I read today are excerpts from it. You probably didn't know I was reading. Oh, hey, hey. But you got some excerpts from the book in today's episode. So if this all resonated with you, please let me know. Please, you know, shoot me a DM, screenshot this on Instagram. Tell me what your favorite takeaways were. I would love to know if this resonated with you, because this is in the fucking book. So I really want to know if you guys are vibing with this and if you're liking with it. Otherwise, that is all for today, friend. So I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you learned so much, had some good ahas, had some good moments where you called yourself out. And with that, you have a great rest of your week, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye. But before you go, one last thing. If you enjoyed the hell out of this episode, there's a couple things you could do. Podcasts grow and thrive because of you, the listener. You help me and my guests spread this message of taking back your damn life. And so I would appreciate it if you would share this episode. Maybe you have a friend that you think absolutely would love it. You could also rate the podcast, submit a review, or just share a screenshot on your Instagram story so that I can shout you out and send you a huge thank you. Otherwise, that's really it for now. So thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, friend, go take back your damn life.